Live from State Street and the Old National Bank Studio,
this is Waddle and Sylvie.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Or listen to the ESPN Chicago app, ESPN 1000 and 100.3 HD2.
This is WMVP, WSHE HD2 Chicago.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Lofted it up there for Darnell Mooney inside the 45 of Kansas City.
Blitz.
If Chiefs bring pressure, Fields hit as he throws. Oh my goodness. What a great effort by Tajay Sharp to hole it in. That was a spectacular grab. Good moves by Ebner. Big run, first down into Chiefs territory. Inside the 35-yard line, Jalen Watson missed the tackle, and Ebner took full advantage for 27 yards. There's Ebner into the end zone, and the Bears are on the board. A touchdown. And Pollock sends this one to center field, sending Green back to the track, to the wall. It's gone! He's done it again, and the Sox cut the lead in half.
Strong stash from Alexander again today. Good stash weekend. So you got the bearded beast on one side with Lance Lynn. I don't know what we're going to call the mustachioed Alexander.
A beast in training.
There you go.
Depends on how much he wants to do with it.
I do see a lot more of them, the stashes now. It is coming back into vogue. And that one, that's a veteran stash right there. That one's been around for a while. That mustache has seen some things.
No doubt.
Tuesday night could be a matchup of the two best ERAs in the American League.
Yeah, that would be, Cease and Verlander would be a wonderful head-to-head matchup. I think that's probably what we'll see. And also, I mean, you're doing a splendid job. It's early in the game yet, but if they start calling Jason Pip, it could very well be. You know, I mean, you know, I know he's supposed to come back, but you never know. You're doing a nice job so far.
I'm sure I'll fail you at some point. On to left. Hawks back at the wall, and Andrew Vaughn, it has been his weekend in Chicago. An insurance run brought home by Vaughn. It's 4-2 Sox.
Adam Amin had quite the weekend. I mean, he does every team anyway. Might as well pick up the Sox. I do love Jason Benetti, though.
Torn right now, aren't you?
Well,
you
I mean, a little torn right now. Benetti gets to keep the Sox job.
Yeah, I think there's enough play-by-play to go around for the guys. I really do.
The highlights courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago and also Fox 32. I did not know this, too, that I was watching the game Saturday before we went out. And Adam Amin joined the guys on Saturday night to preview him doing the game on Sunday.
That. He had his scorebook.
Yeah, and it was the first time that him and Benetti have ever been on the air together.
Really?
Out of all the times,
you probably had your
pants off.
You've got a Bears team coming off a come from behind win. You've now got them at 12-5 this year.
My two favorite broadcasters together.
You got Adam. Nobody's wearing pants.
And funny story is, I had just showered. I needed to go back into the shower after I saw that. Yeah. It's crazy, Adam. How are you?
I need to be hosed off myself right now.
Do I feel a little bit dirty all of a sudden listening to this very intimate conversation? Well, I appreciate the kindness of Jason letting me sit in when he was off watching Blake Snell shut down the lowly Nationals, and I appreciated him letting me sit in. I'm going to be watching Tuesday night, man, when it's Cease and Verlander. I'm going to be watching Jason and Steve like everybody else.
It's going to be great. What has that mustache seen, by the way? You said that mustache has seen many things. We'd like to know what.
To be a fly on the, I guess I was going to say fly on the wall. I guess this would be the equivalent of being like a fly on the cheek more than anything else. Like what has that thing seen over the years, over many years of being cultivated, over its travels, over this great country? Who knows what that mustache has seen?
I think that the mustache, what he saw was his first baseman kick the ball in an inopportune time. I was entertained by the response of the Tigers pitcher when Roger Clemens' kid kicked the ball. He was pissed.
There were some rough moments at times this weekend. I mean, listen, defensively, like Eloy had a couple of rough moments and left on Saturday that left Lucas Giolito.
Sosa did too. And,
you know, Lance Lynn was frustrated at times with the defense in right field on that play where I think it was Baez took second and Engel and Paul, or I can't remember who it was now, Engel and... Was it Pollock? It might have been Pollock that were having some trouble with it in right. Or Vaughn. Right. It was Vaughn. Engel and Vaughn in right. They were having some trouble in right field. And yeah, Detroit is Detroit, and they've had problems like that all season long. So I can understand that frustration in general.
So many great calls by you, but I would argue the best was when the young kid, the fan, dropped his hot dog. That, to me, was the highlight of the weekend.
Well, that's a relatable feeling.
Yes.
Right? I mean, for all of us, at some point or another, listen, this happened to me like 2 weeks ago. All right? I come home. I've got a good meal from Urban Belly, one of my favorite places in town, sitting here. I got the Wow chicken buns, you know, very excited for this very good little mini sandwich. And it slipped out of my hands and it fell on my carpet. Oh. And then it's just cabbage.
You picked it up and ate it, though, didn't you, Adam?
I couldn't. I couldn't look at it knowing... If just living here for 8 years, knowing that I've been walking over this carpet for as long as I have,
I
was like, I can't do this. I can't do this to myself. I can't do that. I got down on my knees to clean it up, and I'm looking at the chicken. And I'm like, I considered it. How about that?
Okay.
How about that? I looked at it and considered. I was like, I would do this, and then I opted against it. So who among us hasn't been in that situation where the food falls, you look around, you're like, I could reach down, grab this.
Nobody's watching.
That was in a public setting, though, you know?
I'm sure this is a surprise to Waddle. I always get a little over-angry, more angry than I should for the moment, because I'm, like, looking so forward to eating something. Or whether I just get, like, a fresh cup of coffee, and then the coffee ends up, or I spill the wine, a glass of wine that I've been craving all day, and I really let it bug the hell out of me, like I shouldn't.
I'm shocked.
No, but I understand that. Like I said, that's a very relatable human feeling, Sylvie. Like, because you're at peak, like, anticipation. Anytime you're at peak anticipation and something just cuts your legs out from underneath you, like spilling the wine, dropping the food, whatever it may be, that feeling is going to overtake you as a human. It's a very relatable human moment.
I agree with that. All right, let's go to Saturday afternoon. What about the Bears' performance stood out most to you, Adam?
Well, I think there were way more positives than negatives for a preseason game. Like, I think we always kind of take everything with a grain of salt, in particular with the first team. You have to, because everything the first team is out there to do is mechanic-based. It's more about structure and going through these motions so that once you get into, you know, 4 weeks from now when the 49ers are in town and their defense is looking at you on the other side, that the first team offense isn't worried about the fundamental basic stuff of getting the play call in, communicating it clearly to the rest of the offense, lining up in the right spot, being able to go through pre-snap reads. Like, all of that stuff needs to be second nature by the time you get in to September the 11th in week one. So for the first team, I never take it too much to heart. If there are issues, I want to make sure that everything comes off clean. And for the most part, I think it did. I think that sticks out for the first unit for me. Obviously, the throws that Fields made for Mooney, the catch by Sharp stuck out. Some of the pre-snap reads I thought were very good. I thought we saw a bunch of good breakdowns on Twitter from various people saying, like, look at the anticipation of Fields. Look at him change the pass protection status here. Look at him slide the line. Look at him bring in an extra tight end or an extra back. I thought Khalil Herbert had some good moments of pass protection pickup. And then for the second and third units, I think it's all about what we saw in defense. Sanborn, rookie out of Wisconsin, coming off a great year. The last 2 years, one of their best tacklers in Jim Leonard's defense. DeMarcus Gates, who was a stud tackler when he was in college at Ole Miss, is a 26-year-old rookie essentially playing in the NFL, trying to earn a spot. Dominique Robinson, a conversion guy, used to be a quarterback at one point, now playing defensive line after bulking up. I think the effort and energy from the second and third units is what stuck out. So first unit, nice and clean for the most part. Second and third units, good energy on the defensive side.
I'm with you. And look, I think most of us just want something to believe in. You know, we want some hope to grab onto, to just, we know it's going to be a turbulent year. We know it's going to be a growing year. But if they do actually grow, we'll see something. So, in my opinion, it's only one game. It's only one preseason game. But I thought, all in all, it was a good day for Ryan Poles.
I think so, because, I mean, look at the guys that they drafted, and look at the signings. And already, Jaquan Brisker, who's one of your top two picks, makes an impact. And you go, oh, okay, that's what they saw at Penn State, right? That's what this guy was all about, playing great in the box, playing well in coverage, but mostly just flying to the football. I thought that we saw some good moments from some rookie offensive linemen. Braxton Jones held his own after a bit of a rocky start. I think he held his own pretty well for his, for the first half. There were some good moments from some of the draft pieces, and obviously, anytime any rookie does something well, whether he's drafted or undrafted, you go, okay, so that's a good eye for some talent. And it's hard to compare and contrast your rookies, whether drafted or undrafted, against the rest of the league, because there's so many variables and so many unknowns and so much variability from what type of game plan you come in for the first preseason game. So it's hard to look across the league and be like, oh, well, clearly this rookie that this team got is better than this rookie that team got, and that guy's a steal, and that guy's going to be a bust. That's a futile exercise. So you're just looking at it in a vacuum, and I thought in a vacuum a lot of these rookies just played well. They showed up. They played with energy. They made good adjustments. I thought Brisker stuck out, obviously, more than anybody else, but I thought the pick of Jones was an interesting one, especially considering what they'd done the last couple of years with the draft, and it ended up looking sharp. He's done a good job going up against Robert Quinn in practices at times already. So the fact that some of the rookies have shown up in a fashion that makes you notice them in a game that not everybody gets noticed, I think that's a very, very good sign for what Ryan Poles has done. And remember, you said it right, Sylvie. You're looking for development and growth this year, because that's a lot of cap space they're going to have next year. Something like $120 million or whatever it was. I can't remember what the number off the top of my head.
Close,
but they're going to have a lot of cap space for 23. And if there's a good amount of growth and development now, that's going to be very valuable come 2023. And I know nobody wants to hear about 2023 right now. I'm just giving you a sense of where everybody's head is at if we're looking at 22 as a development.
That's the lens I'm looking through as well. Look, I'm not as I know everyone doesn't subscribe to this theory, but I'm not even really focused on the wins and losses this year. And obviously you want to win more than you lose, but I don't believe this team is a true contender for anything this year. 2023 is an entirely different story. So that's the lens I'm looking through. And Adam, I think you made such a brilliant point about the basics and the givens. Like, everything looked like it was helter-skelter last year or so. Plays coming in, having to call timeouts. It seems to – you would think that an NFL franchise would not struggle with sending a play and the play getting called and nothing, going wrong at the line of scrimmage before the ball is snapped. But we have had trouble with that in this town for so many years. And the fact I mentioned to Sylvie as well, I look for individual performances – I also look for discipline. There were zero turnovers and five penalties for 32 yards. I don't think you can overlook that or overemphasize that, especially with a new offense and a new system employed on both sides of the football.
And nothing like a false start that stuck out.
Right.
No rushing, no delay of game penalty, no rushing up to the line to try to get a snap off. I thought the two-minute drills that Kansas City ran offensively were sharp, and I thought the Bears responded pretty well in the defensive two-minute, especially in the second half. Like, again, you're taking all this with a grain of salt with twos and threes, but
sure,
even for the ones, like the chain of command where it goes, all right, the offensive coordinator comes up with the play, or you're going and looking at your script and you go, all right, we're going to run this play. You get the play in. Fields has to communicate it. They have to know where to line up. They have to know the playbook. Fields has to know it by heart at this point, or at least in the next coming weeks, he better have it down. Because you're not going to be able to ease into it week one and week two. Like San Francisco, we talked about this on the broadcast. San Francisco's defense is really good. And I think Green Bay's defense is going to be one of the seven or eight best defenses in the league this year. Because their front line in their secondary is excellent. I think their linebackers are really strong. And they got better up front. Like, I think that's going to be a scary good defense, honestly. Especially if they're healthy. Alexander wasn't healthy in the back end last year. I think if he's healthy this year, they're going to be really good. So you're not going to be able to ease into any of this stuff. So all of this has to be down pat. Fields has to know the playbook and know the ins and outs of it and the nuances and the changes that come with it. You're not going to see a lot of audibles in a preseason game because you're not trying to give away what your secondary checks and calls are. But you need to be able to do that come week one. And just the fact the basics were there, no dumb penalties, no disciplinary penalties, no kind of order of operation type penalties. Like I said, delay a game, false start, things of that sort. None of that stuff. So already you're off to a rousing start in terms of discipline. And I know we laugh sometimes at head coach speak, but Matt Eberflus had talked about the discipline of what he wants to see from a team. And at least you got to see flashes of that, or at least see that at a consistent basis for one game.
We're talking to Adam Amin. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. He did not only the White Sox game yesterday, but the Bears game on Saturday. Did you have a chance to walk the field at all? And was it as bad up close as it looked from the TV cameras?
It's not in great shape, you know, and to be honest with you, you know, when guys are filling sand in and filling in some divots and things of that nature early on, that doesn't help. Now, again, they had an Elton John concert the week prior, and they don't play at home until week one of the regular season. I think it'll be okay a month from now, but it definitely stuck out. And when J.C. Tretter is calling out the team and things of that sort, like, not a good look. You know, it's not a good look. He's the president of the Players Association. He's obviously an offensive lineman for a long time, and he knows this league fairly well. Cairo Santos, his comments don't help. He's saying, you know, he's practicing on bad footing so that he can get used to Soldier Field. That's not a good look, but I think a month from now we won't be worried about it as much as we were going into this week.
Adam, what are your thoughts on the fact that the Bears in preseason are being asked by the league to play on a short week and fly across country? I got to be honest, ignorantly, I didn't know that this game, even till Saturday or Sunday, didn't know this game was going to be played on Thursday. This seems to be unforgivable by the league. This just shouldn't happen.
It probably shouldn't happen in the preseason, and we've gone through a lot of this stuff in like seminars. You know, we go through officiating seminars, we go through league seminars, and one of the things they always talk about is lower extremity injuries. The teams that avoid lower extremity injuries in the preseason and the ones that avoid them on a consistent basis during the regular season, no surprise, are often the teams that are at their healthiest and play very, very well once you get later in the season. That's not that, you know, that's the direct correlation of that stuff. And lower extremity injuries often happen on short weeks in a physical game. Now, that being said, will you have to get used to this at some point? Yeah, you got a Thursday night game against Washington early in the season, in the first half of the campaign. You're going to have some primetime games. Like, you'll have to get used to the short week. I just wish it didn't have to come at this point. One of the trade-offs of getting the benefit of a national television broadcast and getting some exposure and getting to watch your team and hear what the national folks think about it in the preseason is you have to work on a short week. The Seahawks are doing the same thing. So, yeah, I wish it weren't the case, but I don't think anybody in the building come, you know, Tuesday is really going to be worried about it. They're going to be worried about trying to game plan and figure out evaluative processes.
By the way, are you getting ready to call Giannis in a Bulls uniform in like 2024, 2025?
As soon as that opt-out comes up, man, as soon as that last year of his deal. Here's the thing. I looked at his contract. I'm sure everybody in Chicago crashed the Spotrac website to see when Giannis's contract is up, just like I did, and he's got that player opt-out. That's going to coincide with Zach LaVine making about $40-some-odd million, too. So that's going to be a lot of cap space that you're going to be taking up when Giannis eventually signs in Chicago. That was a fun little buzz created this weekend by Giannis.
It was a lot of fun. Adam, great work all weekend, all right? Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate you guys.
Here's the Giannis reference, in case you don't know what we're joking about. I think Lou interviewed him on Fox 32, and he asked him about the idea of possibly one day playing for the Bulls.
I think anybody who asks that question that plays basketball, if he said no, he'd be a liar. You know, it's a team that won multiple championships. It's a team that one of the greatest players, if not the greatest player, to ever play this game played for. So it's a no-brainer. Everybody would love to play for Chicago. Down the line, you never know. You know, you never know how life brings it. Maybe I'll play for Chicago. But right now, I'm committed to Milwaukee.
Oh, you've already bought your Giannis.
I mean, Bulls jersey. I'm loving the young Bears players. Yeah. I've got Giannis on the Bulls.
What could go wrong? What could go wrong with you right now? Seriously, what could go wrong?
It is a Meathead Monday. Why not?
No, listen, I'm not gonna rain on your parade.
No, it's not my parade. I did that when I saw Lou tweet out the interview or the cut or preview it for the 10 o'clock sports.
Yeah,
I did the same thing as Adam Amin. I went to look his contract. I'm like, oh, he signed for 4 more years, but I believe he's got the opt out after 2. But still, I mean, you know how this goes.
Yeah. Love Lou. We lose a friend of both of ours. And by the way, our condolences. He lost his mom last week.
Yes.
So Lou Kanellis is one of the good guys in town and always does a great job.
And his mom, very proud. I texted him how proud his mom had to be of him and everything that he accomplished. But it was just even just for a second.
Yeah, lets you dream, doesn't it?
Yeah, Giannis is promoting what he's promoting.
Because we just signed Vooch to an extension, but it's all good. It's a good thought.
I am down about their off season. You know how I feel about
listen,
this.
And that's a Christmas shock because, like, my goodness, you are drinking Kool-Aid after Kool-Aid.
No Christmas. Did you see that? All the Christmas games, the Bulls are not playing on Christmas Day in the NBA. For all the marquee teams, they're still not in the upper echelon of the NBA. They're kind of stuck where they are, if maybe even lower. Maybe they...
I think most importantly, does anyone have Alonzo Ball update?
Yes. What was your? Can you tell the share the update? Dress it up a little bit that he was carrying multiple bags in an elevator.
Yeah, my buddy is neighbors with Lonzo out in L.A. and he saw Lonzo getting into an elevator. It looked like he was heading out somewhere because he had a bunch of suitcases and bags with him. But he said he looked like he was walking all right.
Did he have an artificial knee in one of the bags?
Was he? Yes, he was. He wasn't in a wheelchair, right?
He didn't have an X-ray machine or anything, so he wasn't able to see what was in the bags, no.
He was not heading to Europe for PRP or anything like that, medical procedure. I'm just saying, he's not going anywhere to have anything done, right? No. We're good? We're good?
Oh, my goodness.
Like, he's the key to a lot of things next year.
Sure. Just to get back to where they were, which wasn't good enough.
Yeah. We haven't heard anything recently. Again, we're on the, in the middle of... NFL training camp.
But they're going to report soon. They report sometime, I would think, in September.
Right.
I saw some pictures of Io. He threw out the first pitch yesterday. It was Bulls Day out at the Sox game yesterday. And
that's why you were there. That's why you were there.
No, because my kids want to go every weekend, basically.
Were they harassing Benny? Because Benny was there, wasn't he?
We were hoping to see Benny, but that we didn't. They saw Southpaw again. They ran the bases after the game.
Nice.
The line was even longer this time. But it's worth it for the 25 seconds that those kids and Braxy this time slid at home.
Perfect.
It was great.
I was just going to ask, did they slide?
Because he slid at home and all the security guards were laughing.
Did he get a raspberry on his knee? Did
he? I don't think he cares. He's for all of that.
And Mason was looking for Lance McCullers to see if he'd come in early.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's camping out.
He's giving a wait for bus. Lance McCullers.
He slept at Guaranteed Rate yesterday.
That's good.
So a lot going on, though. And if you want to weigh in, 332-3776. We've got Waddle's World coming up. The good, the bad, the dirty in an hour from right now. And anything that is on your mind, we're here for you.
You know what you need to do if you don't have ESPN Plus? You need to subscribe because with it, you can stream live sports and original content all day long. You'll get access to the award-winning 30 for 30 library, unrivaled UFC access, including exclusive pay-per-views. You get live coverage of 35 PGA Tour events each year. You get daily MLB games all season long. Get the ESPN Plus and Disney Plus bundle today. You can stream anytime, anywhere. Go to ESPNChicagoBundle.com to learn more.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Get weird. 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 Weird.
Let's get weird.
Yeah, why not? Let's get weird. Should, because it's fun.
It is fun.
Waddle's World is brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC. It's going to be a brilliant Monday night. Do you know why?
Monday night.
Two things.
Sox and Astros?
Yes. That's one. You get a chance after the Sox just took care of the Tigers. Got a nice sweep of the Tigers
and
after
Cubs
losing.
And Nationals.
Kick rocks. No. How can you not? Tonight is the series finale.
Oh, yeah. Better Call Saul. It was my what to watch for on Friday.
Last one ever. Ever.
The last one ever, right? And yeah. It'll be sad. That maybe I'm not as, because I still didn't finish the second to last episode. Yeah. I did finish the Blackbird over the weekend, not to steer it away, and which was another rec someone gave us. And I know you finished it.
It was very good.
Waddle was spot on, too, about whoever plays this. And I did a lot of digging, too.
You sent me the email. It was great about Apple, how accurate the story was.
Yeah. What Apple does is they've done the true story so well. Like, what was the not Adam Sandler, but Will Ferrell and the
Adam
other
McKay?
Adam McKay. Will Ferrell and... It was about the psychologist in New York who scams.
Oh, that was good, too. I forget what it was called, but yeah, I remember that.
And my point is it was based on a true story. Yes. And then I Google Paul afterwards Rudd the real people.
Paul Rudd
is the name I was looking for.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd and Will Ferrell. And they've done numerous things based on true stories. And I love then when I'm done to find out how accurate this was. Blackbird is like almost entirely accurate.
Was Dope Sick an Apple production as well?
No,
because Dope Sick was outstanding.
It was
same way.
Yeah, it wasn't Apple.
Okay,
but boy, Blackbird, this actor who played the killer.
Yeah, he's the guy that played the role of Richard Jewell in the Richard Jewell movie.
He should win something.
I told you he was fabulous.
And about the guy who exposes him, and then I don't want to tell the story. But it's a strong Chicago connection. It's true Chicago connection.
Yes, downstate Illinois was a lot of it, right?
Well, the main character, though, is from Kankakee.
Right.
And his father was a Chicago police officer.
Right. It's a good show.
Yes.
Meller, you also you got involved in The Offer, right?
I did.
What did you think? Again, as I told Sylvie, the guy that plays the role, one of the lead roles in... And Blackbird has to be up for some roles or some awards. The guy that plays the role of Robert Evans, the studio executive
he's
from
excellent.
Paramount, unbelievable.
Yes,
isn't
and
it?
Miles Teller is very he's compelling great. As well. The Betty, the woman,
yes,
she's excellent.
She's from Ted Lasso.
Anybody who, I would, you know, of all the things you've recommended, that's when one of my Waddle's favorites.
All over.
It was I good. Out somebody the offer gave us
very,
that one
very quickly.
Yeah, the offer was fabulous. One of my wife's favorite shows.
That's next for me.
Oh, you haven't seen? Oh, it's
yeah, good. I haven't watched The Offer yet.
All right. So anyway, you get Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul
series finale tonight, but more importantly, you get the White Sox and the Astros.
Yeah, this is a must-watch series because considering that against a lot of average teams, they've split series.
Yeah.
How will they do against the Astros? And they haven't fared well in opening games of series either.
I'm very happy that they took all three against the Tigers, especially coming off of a four-game set with the Royals where they dropped three of four.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. You really want to get my attention? Take three or four from these guys. They play four, right?
Yes, it's
take three or four from the Astros, and then you'll get my attention. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, if they take three out of four, and they finally are tied with the Twins. They're still 2.5 behind Cleveland, but they're finally tied with the Twins.
Yeah. By the way, here's your lineup for today. You have Pollock leading off, playing center field. He's been very good in the leadoff spot.
His best numbers are in the leadoff position.
Good to see that Vaughn is batting second and DHing.
Instead of batting fifth?
Correct. Aloy is batting third and playing left field. Abreu batting fourth and playing first base. Grandal will bat fifth behind the plate. Batting sixth is Moncada playing third. Josh Harrison will bat seventh, play second base. Gavin Sheets will play right field. And Leury will play shortstop and bat ninth.
Interesting lineup. So no Robert again.
No, he hurt his hand sliding into second base. Was that Friday?
That was Friday's game.
Friday's game? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So so Robert is not in today's game. And that somewhat of an injury report is brought to you by Rush University System for Health. Don't let COVID-19 sideline you this season. Rush encourages everyone to get vaccinated, wear a mask. Don't delay your care. In person or virtually, Rush is here for you. Visit rush.edu. So that's must-listen-to radio tonight. Sox hosting the Astros.
Good call. By the way, people in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, remind us that Hulu is where you got Dope Sick.
Okay, thank you. And I told you that. What's his name? Michael Keaton was going to get some sort of award, and he got the SAG-AFTRA award for that.
You need to listen to Waddle.
He was in the bathroom.
You need to listen to Waddle on three things. There's football stuff.
Drinking.
Okay, four things. There's football stuff, drinking, penis stories, and binge watching TV.
Yeah. You know what? I'll wear all of that. I wear all of it. By the way, episode 10, season 4 of The Wire is next on my list.
Okay. You are a madman.
I do believe I was having this conversation with Meller earlier. The first three seasons of The Wire were spectacular. I feel season 4 is, like all of these series, it's kind of in a valley. It's a lull.
I still
And
love
as Meller
that.
Said, he just got done with Ozark. Ozark to me also was a show that needed to come to an end.
Well, they went too slow, and then it seemed like in the last half of Ozark, they needed to get a lot of things done.
Yeah,
and it all happened haphazardly.
I thought Peaky Blinders was the same way. Loved Peaky Blinders, but season five, I was glad it was over.
I think Sylvia, you hit it. Ozark didn't have a plan to end it. It didn't feel like it's just like, all right, we ran out of time and episodes and we've cashed enough checks. It's over. Let's end it. And it wasn't very satisfying.
They're not all going to be the best show you've ever seen, but my ride with Ozark overall was still good.
See, I thought the first two seasons were excellent and it just really fell off a cliff.
Here's the thing with me, too. Like, I binge watch it all. I'm not a snob with it. Just entertain me.
Some are going to. It's like movies now.
Some
are. You're not going to see a 4-star movie every time.
I saw The Gray Man the other night. I'm not disappointed that I watched it. I wasn't thrilled with it, but it was okay.
Did you watch 13 Lives? Have you watched that?
I haven't seen that yet.
I got to watch that.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
Watch that with a wife.
By the way, we asked the question about Roquan Smith, whether or not he practiced today. We got a response from Courtney, right?
Yeah, Courtney said he did not practice. They did not see him, but that doesn't mean he's not there. It's kind of similar to Tevin Jenkins.
Okay, so he wasn't in uniform, or he didn't at least
they didn't see him.
In the past, he's
correct.
Had his jersey on, no helmet, but he's been out on the bike or standing.
Mm-hmm.
So he was not out on the field today.
Yep, we didn't see him. Won't
different.
Have any idea whether
Why
or not they find him.
That?
Yet.
I don't know.
This was a non-story today, it seemed like, with the beat people.
And you said also about the fine, there's no way of knowing that.
Unless Roquan or Eberflus come out and say something.
Yep. And then Eberflus didn't speak today, right?
Right.
Tomorrow Eberflus will speak. I just thought I was interested in this story because in their last practice, which was Thursday, is when Eberflus sort of, he was not happy that he didn't practice and he vocalized that. And then so you had thought, your theory was, he'd sit out the game,
they play
sort of
nice.
Make his point.
They wouldn't find him.
And then, like, reset it here on
Starting
Monday.
Starting today, my prediction was, is this when it gets real? This is when the Bears actually decide that we've played nice for long enough. We're using the mechanism that is built into the collectively bargained agreement with the players and the owners. We have the capacity to fine you. We haven't yet. You cannot retrieve them or take them back after they are issued anymore. I figured that today was the day that the Bears would actually use their right to fine him.
Yes.
And he wasn't seen on the field.
Courtney did report the memo from the NFL Competition Committee.
Management Council.
And they threatened teams with the Competition Committee about as far as talking to...
He's got a representative named St. Omni, who I guess has been calling around different teams, and he is not authorized by the Bears to be pursuing any type of trade.
Right. And St. Omni, from what Tyler has researched, is a guy who does do a lot of, not agent work, but kind of helps guys without agents.
Now, Laramie Tunsil is a guy that he's worked with. Yep. Mm-hmm. And Charles Cross is another guy. Both guys not with agents, but he does a lot of business stuff with them and advising with them.
But remember, you cannot talk to someone without permission. So they're warning these other teams, too, that, hey, if you do have a conversation with this guy about Roquan, you are subject to big-time penalties.
Yeah, I mean,
it's tampering.
Yes, it is. And again, you know, we can go through this process again of why it's important to have an agent if you're negotiating something like this. But here's hoping it works out. By the way, did you see 49ers safety Jimmy Ward could miss the season opener with a hamstring injury? Didn't Jimmy Ward just come? His name was in the top 100. Did he make the top 100 list?
I think he did.
He's in the
90s, I want to say.
And you ask, why in the world are you worried about safety Jimmy Ward from the 49ers? Well, Like, you have the Bears going 12-5. Maybe you want to jack that up to 13-4 if, in fact, Jimmy Ward isn't available for the opener.
You know me. I already have money down on the Bears on the money line to win the opener.
That's right. No, Jimmy Ward is... That's a positive because he's a good ball player.
But what's his name? Played very well. Trey Lance. He had a nice touchdown pass. Did you see that where he put it?
So did Mitch.
Was Mitch's nice? Mitch rolled out and there was a wide open guy.
How much preseason football did you watch? I saw that.
Highlights.
Like everyone was gassed up and giggly about Mitch, and then you watched the Mason Rudolph and then Kenny Pickett go out there and actually play just as well, if not better.
My biggest takeaway from the Steelers game is, and I know we were complimenting Poles, and it still stands.
Against the wide receiver?
Yes. I just always have warned that there were a lot of guys on the board who were rated very good that would have helped the Bears, Pickens being one of them.
And he didn't go into the second round either.
He went after both Bears picks.
Was he 52nd or 54th, something like that?
Yeah, somewhere in there. And remember what the Steelers have done. The Steelers consistently draft and develop wide receivers, going back 20 years. Think about all the guys they've had.
Hines Ward.
And then they get rid of, and then they bring in a new batch of receivers who then continue to just be good football players.
It's funny you mentioned his name because I was going to say two guys that stood out to me in week one of the preseason for obvious reasons were Jaquan Brisker and the kid Pickens from the Steelers.
Right.
Because those were two guys that they're kind of intertwined at least to some of us.
Look, I'm always going to watch the receivers they could have had, too.
Correct.
It will help a lot if Brisker and the corner is going to be really good. Gordon, who's finally back. Kyler Gordon's finally back on the field today.
Valus Jones also on the field today for the Bears.
And he will hopefully play. A lot matters. If Valus Jones is good and those other two are really good, then you're like, hey, what can we complain about?
By the way, the Rangers have fired their manager, Chris Woodward.
This is a fourth?
Number four. Fourth manager.
Which is the team that sort of didn't do it like the other teams?
The Cubs?
The White Sox.
Did you watch anything other of the White Sox or the Cubs and Reds at all this weekend?
A little bit, yeah. I checked
what
it.
Happened?
I didn't. Well, the Cubs were home for the sweep. They lost yesterday. They had a lead. But
you feeling better about your team? They're now in third place instead of last place.
They're not playing bad baseball right now. And, you know, the hope is they have found a couple of pitchers this year. And then you obviously need
I'm convinced.
Well, they're finding some guys. It hasn't been a fruitless season, has it? It hasn't.
I love your positivity. You've got the Bears doing great things. You've got the Cubs not being that bad despite being 20-some games under 500.
He's like, Sylvie Sunshine.
No, they're not.
Yeah, sunshine.
I think they're like 19 now. Or
my
they
bad.
Were like, I think it was 17 or 18. Like, I've been monitoring that. Like, how woefully bad. They haven't played woeful baseball as of late.
You are correct. They're 19 games under 500. My apologies.
Thank you.
My apologies.
They are not in last place anymore.
No, they are in. Actually, the Reds aren't either. The Pirates are now
Pirates
in,
of Fawn,
in,
right.
in
the cellar. Cell phone Pirates.
Yeah. All right, that's all I got for you. When we come back, I got some nonsense.
Morelli hit another home run yesterday.
Oh, fantastic.
Nico Horner keeps on raking.
Why don't you get the boys a Morel jersey instead of a Lance McCullers jersey, for crying out loud.
McCullers jersey.
I do have an interesting story about Miller beer and ice cream.
Oh, good. I had both this weekend.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Miller High Life makes an ice cream bar that tastes like, it says dive bars.
Dove bars?
Does it mean dive? No, the ice cream dive bar. That's what it says.
Dive bar.
I've heard of the Dove bar. I have not heard of the dive bar. Ice cream bars have their own history, some pretty special memories. Now Miller High Life is trying its hand at paying tribute to both with dive bar flavored ice cream.
What is dive? Like, they taste like a dive bar?
Like a dive bar,
like,
I kind of
like what when we walked into all the bars on Broadway
like
in Nashville.
Yeah.
Those are all dive bars. The older ones are.
In honor of the institution that is dive bars and the 100th anniversary of the ice cream bar, Miller High Life partnered with Tipsy Scoop to create the ice cream dive bar. This ice cream is, of course, infused with High Life, but also a peanut swirl to reflect the peanut shells always found on the floor of those bars.
Right.
A bit of tobacco smoke flavor.
Yes.
I'm in. As well as a caramel swirl, sprinkle of carbonated candy, and a dark chocolate dip.
It's good that they left out, like, the pee and puke smell of a dive bar. Right,
you know, that is positive.
Like I told you when you walked into these bars in Nashville,
it smells
like a college bar.
Well, it doesn't smell like smoke anymore because you can't smoke in these bars.
Some of them do. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Really, you're not allowed to.
It still's got.
Does it smell like puke and pee?
Yes.
Really?
A lot of the bars in Broadway. Right, as soon as I walked, we got within a few hundred feet of Broadway, and I could smell that pukey bar smell.
You ever had ice cream that had alcohol in it?
Don't.
I'd
not
do
sure.
That. I'd totally in. I'd try that.
Well, for sure.
Have you ever had like an a popsicle that had vodka in it? My kids have brought those home.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, Jello shots then too.
My daughter does some of the grocery shopping. Sometimes I asked her for pickle sickles the other day. I still haven't seen them. Popsicles flavored like pickles.
I know you're a big pickle
Love
guy.
It.
You haven't talked much about pickles lately, though. Do you still eat as many pickles as you used to?
Yeah, I had pickles on my hamburger last night.
Very good.
Pickle chips.
The pickle chips are so good. Crispy, right?
Yeah. Awesome. Lane Kiffin says Ole Miss found its new punter at a keg party on campus. Cool with that.
They're not going to punt much anyway, right? They score a bunch.
Yeah, lacking depth at the punter position, so he did what any respectable coach would do. Took a visit to Fraternity Row to see if any of the guys on campus could kick a football. I kind of love him.
I think he was looking for some co-eds.
Oh, he wasn't looking just for some...
I think Lane was looking for some co-eds.
Really?
Not for a punter.
Well, he may have gone looking for co-eds, but he found himself a punter. He is entertaining, isn't he?
Yeah, he's entertaining. I will give you that.
Yeah?
That whole conference... entertaining.
Yeah. Are you eating grapes these days? You used to eat grapes all the time.
I used to love grapes, and then it gave me too much gas, and I've quit grapes this summer.
You didn't stop the cherries.
No, the cherries are too good, though. Like, the grapes were really having an effect on my stomach.
Really?
Yeah.
But more so than the cherries?
Yes.
Eating grapes can counteract harmful effects from processed foods while boosting your metabolism. Scientists say having a daily bowl of grapes could potentially add up to 5 years.
Oh, wow. Maybe back to the grapes.
To your lifespan.
What about wine? Does that translate in drinking wine with the grapes in the wine?
No, grapes are rich in chemicals that boost your gut bacteria and lower cholesterol. They also contain antioxidants that dampen inflammation, reducing the risk of heart disease and cancer. Grapes, I'm in.
I think a lot of people, though, say like one glass of wine does have health benefits.
What about four? Four times
four
the benefit?
You beat me to it.
I don't drink four glasses of wine. It's too rich
every
for me.
Every night.
I don't.
You drink two. You move on to the scotch now.
No, I don't have any scotch in the house.
Well, what's wrong with you? You've got to stock up.
I've got beer and wine in the house is all I got right now.
You need to start building up the collection run out of stuff.
I've got like five handles of Tito's vodka in the house.
It's great.
But no scotch.
Go get some other stuff. It's my toy chest.
Yeah.
Broxy, when we were driving to the game yesterday,
he was asking for good scotch.
We saw a billboard, and he goes, "That's what Daddy drinks." And it was a Miller Lite billboard.
Yeah. Right.
I'm like, "That's my boy."
Yeah.
That's my boy.
All right. That's all I got for you.
All right. So, remember the Dallas Keuchel story?
I do.
There is another former White Sox player taking some shots at his old team, the Sox. This is interesting. We'll read this quote for you coming up next.